They've watched Citizen Kane a combined 200 times. Elliot's first words were, "I personally thought the use of Dutch angles was derivative in the 400 blows." In Nathan's favorite historical figure is Fritz Lang. Now they're bringing that snootiness to you with Magellan's at the Movies.
Hello, and welcome back to Magellan's at the Movies, and a blind listening test with Magellan's at the Movies and the leading film podcast. 4 out of 10 listeners couldn't tell the difference, so it's almost half. It's not bad at all.
That's crazy.
Nathan, not a lot is happening in the movie news that I've Googled here this week, but we could talk about Sinners dropped by a devastating almost 5% this weekend. That movie's out the door, basically.
That's insane. I think I mentioned this in the last episode where we were talking about Sinners, that an average like percentage drop is something like 40 to 60%. Anything under 40 is considered like really good staying power, so 6% is insane. The word of mouth for this movie is crazy.
Yeah, clearly. And if you want our thoughts on the movie, you can go ahead and give that episode a listen.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of box office news, Revenge of the Sith became the highest grossing re-release movie ever. Nathan, did you hit the cinemas to see this movie?
I really wanted to, actually, and I just never got around to it. I talked to Jake Brand, who provides the intro for us every time we do these episodes, and he said it was fantastic in theaters, that he had a really good time. I have no doubt that I would have had a really fantastic time. I think in our episodes where we talk about Star Wars, I'm a bit of a Revenge of the Sith defender, so I can believe it doing well. I think if any of the prequels deserve to like do well and have a resurgence, I think Revenge of the Sith is the one that would deserve all those things.
Well, I'm a bit of a Revenge of the Sith attacker, and the last time I watched it, I think I laughed for the entirety of Anakin and Obi-Wan's fight.
It's a great scene. It's a great scene.
It's very funny, so great job, George. The best comedic writer of our day and age. I guess I'm not surprised about this, because, of course, the prequels have enjoyed a reevaluation from younger fans. Of course, this is probably, for many of them, their first opportunity to see it in the theaters.
Yeah.
Ryan, the Magellan sibling, the youngest Magellan sibling, saw it in and so did Dad.
Nice.
And it got a big thumbs up. So well done to everyone there. Finally, I believe this week or next week, let me just do a real-time fact check. Oh, today.
Yeah.
Marvel's Thunderbolts comes out. Strong reviews here. Wow.
Yeah, very strong reviews. Honestly, I would go, like, if someone asked me, I would go to Thunderbolts in theaters. I was not going to go to Captain America, New World Order. There was never a chance of that. That, to me, looks like a similar level of quality as Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. That they're just putting out some nonsense. Thunderbolts, to me, it's like a mildly interesting and looks enjoyable. So I would go to Thunderbolts. I wouldn't go alone, but if people invited me, I would go.
So there's Nathan's put out the call for someone to invite him to Thunderbolts. So send us an email. Give Nathan a chance. leave me out of it because I'm not interested whatsoever. Yeah. But I'm, yeah, if people enjoy it, well, I was going to say that's fine, but maybe it's not fine because it means that they'll just keep on making more. Ugh. And it would be better if they would stop, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're here to talk about a movie, Elliot, not just movie news that you've scrambled together from Google. And this week we're taking a request. We do take requests when we receive them. This is if you've been sitting at home not putting a request in because you're like, they're probably flooded with them and I don't want to have my request go unnoticed. Your requests do not go unnoticed. So we are doing a request. Our cousin Abigail requested the Super Mario Bros. Movie, the 2023 version. I guess I assumed that's the version that she requested. We didn't clarify if she was looking for the other one.
That's a good point.
That's our bad. But, yeah, if you're unaware of what this movie is or was, it was, I'd say, one of the biggest movies of 2023. I believe it was one of the highest grossing movies of the year. It made a huge splash. It raked in tons of money and tons of reviews from a variety of different places and a variety of different people, I guess you could say. So now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to give this movie a review. Elliot, give us an intro for this. Were you excited for this movie? Is Mario a touchstone of your childhood, so you were waiting with bated breath to see a good cinematic adaptation of this character?
Well, Mario, I have me and Mario, we go back. One day, deep in the jungles of our childhood, we discovered our mother's old Super Nintendo system in the basement. And so we set it up and failed to play a lot of games that we didn't understand. But we did have Super Mario Bros., the original Super Mario Bros., Super Mario Bros. 2 and 3.
Yep.
We played those for a while. I don't think we ever got very far.
No.
Yeah. and then on the Wii, we played Super Mario Bros. Wii. That was a staple of our childhood.
Yeah.
And from there to Super Mario Galaxy.
Yep.
Super Luigi Bros. U on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Played that. Nathan and I, we've both played Mario Odyssey. So, yeah, I have some fondness for this little Italian plumber. And also in our childhood, we used to watch an animated like Mario Bros. Movie where they fought like an evil crocodile or something. Do you remember that?
I don't recall this at all. No,
they got sucked into the Mushroom Kingdom through a drain in a bathtub.
I'm familiar with that. I've seen clips of that. I've seen that, but not in the context of watching it as a kid.
Well, we watched it as children. But anyway, so but I mean that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I had pretty much moved on. I'm at the point now where people like adults who are super into Mario give me a bit of the cringe, to be honest. But hey man, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. So I was not super excited about this. We saw it in theaters.
Yeah, we did. For whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an event of a movie, though. It raked in cash.
Yeah.
I have a little quote here from Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of Mario. He's talking about the idea for a new Mario movie arose from the idea of bringing Nintendo's older games to the virtual console. Miyamoto said, quote, "Our content business would be able to develop even further if we were able to combine our long-beloved software with that of video assets and utilize them together for extended periods." What an artist! That quote is hilarious to me. But it does make sense when you think about this is a man in the employ of a company that's charging $10 for the tech demo for the Switch 2. So let's not pretend that Nintendo are in it for the love of the game.
Portions of the company is, but the marketing and the people who set the prices are in it for love of money. So sometimes those two things are not.
Miyamoto is one of their creators.
He is, yeah. I guess we could start talking about the movie, because I think what's interesting about that quote and what's interesting about this movie to me is that this movie feels like it's made for people who have primarily played those NES Super Mario Bros. Games that we played, that you mentioned at the beginning. Super Mario 1, the non-canon Super Mario 2, and Super Mario Bros. 3 for the NES. Those games get the bulk of the references and the kind of Easter eggs that this movie holds. So it's interesting, like, I don't know. I remember finding that very interesting when I saw the movie for the first time, that it had almost nothing from the modern sort of things, despite being an animated movie ostensibly for the same audience as Super Mario Odyssey and, like, you know, Super Mario 3D World and stuff.
Okay. Good point. I didn't really think about that.
I think you said that same thing when I shared this thought when we first saw the movie, that I was like, isn't it weird that this movie is kind of made for, like the Easter eggs are geared towards adults instead of children who would enjoy them more? And you were like, I don't care. Like, that's irrelevant information.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to comment on that, whether it's relevant or not.
Okay.
The first time we saw this, I didn't care about it. In one way or the other. I didn't think it was terrible. I didn't think it was great. I honestly didn't really think about it at all. And I remembered so little about what happened in this movie that it was almost like I was watching it for the first time. Because I didn't remember them being on Rainbow Road, or Peach's backstory of coming from the human world. I really remembered not that much.
Wow.
And I don't remember that much either, having watched it a second time. This is one of the most inoffensive, bland, nothing burger movies I think I've seen in a long time. Like, when I think back on it, it's like the whole movie is coated with an emotional Teflon. Like, I just can't seem to get any thought or opinion or emotion to stick on it. Like, it's just such a movie film movie that, like, it looks gorgeous. I love the way this is animated, but the humor is non-existent. The stakes are non-existent. The characters are non-existent. Like, it's just, it's like a Nintendo roller coaster ride where you enjoy the colors and the references, and then at the end of the day, you move on. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with this movie. Where are you at? Are you just like, oh, it's interesting that everything's old in the movie, or that the Easter eggs are for old people?
That's what I find interesting about the movie. My appraisal of it critically is the exact same as your appraisal. And I think I should also say this before we, like, even before we get to ratings. In my mind, every movie starts at a 5 out of 10, because a 5 out of 10 is like an average movie. So by statistics, all movies right, should statistically be 5 out of 10, or, like, that's the middle of the road, and then the movie loses or gains points from that starting point, in my mind. So I just want to say that way before we get to an actual rating, because I feel like I think calling this movie a Nintendo roller coaster is a perfect way to describe the movie. That it looks good. It is, I don't think there's ever a moment in the movie where it does something that's, like, painfully stupid, or it does something that really frustrates me narratively. And it is clearly making attempts at trying to make you care more about the characters through, Peach's backstory and Mario trying to live up to his father's approval or whatever he's trying to do, which shows up very little. If you've never played a Mario game, Mario's father's approval rarely appears. Have not seen that quite yet, but who knows. But there's just so little in the movie, and I think what's most kind of frustrating for me about the movie is how little of the, like, things that make a Mario game fun are present in the movie. That, in my opinion, I'm a huge fan of Super Mario Odyssey. I think it is genuinely one of the greatest games ever made. I think it's super fun, and I think a big component to me enjoying it as much as I do is the fact that it's just so wildly creative and cool, that every minute in the game you're finding something new that's, like, exciting and interesting. And this movie is so dedicated to rehashing and, like, throwing up random Easter eggs that at no point does the movie even sniff, like, the coattails of Odyssey's or any of the, like, good Mario games creativity. It feels like, I think your Miyamoto quote that you said at the beginning of this is, like, the most stunning indictment of the film that you can possibly have. That it's a movie made to increase a quarterly number on a spreadsheet. It's not a movie made with any of the heart or imagination of the games that, you know, right now, I just recently got Super Mario Wonder for my birthday, and I'm playing it, and it's so much fun. It's just an absolute delight to be playing it. And then watching this movie is, like, not a delight. It's, like, a waste of my time, almost.
Well, that's what's interesting to me about this movie and about the whole project of an adaptation of Mario. Why Mario? Like, so much about what's good about Mario games, in my mind, is impossible to translate to the screen because it's so bound up in the interactivity of it. Like, how are you supposed to translate the satisfaction that you get from pulling off that one really elaborate hat jump in Odyssey to the screen? Because you're a passive observer there. So I just don't understand. And it's not like Mario has any kind of deep lore or interesting characters, or there's so little to build off of when you're setting yourself to the task of adapting a plotless game about jumping on turtles and mushrooms in colorful skyboxes.
Yeah.
Right? So why? I think that really it's just down to the recognizability of the brand.
Yeah.
And the fact that, I will say, if you're a child, like if you're a kindergartner, this movie is for you. Kindergartner who is listening to Magellan's at the Movies, go out there and watch this movie because it's perfect for you. Because it is so, like, it is just the easiest thing in the world for you to grasp and to understand and to watch. So, like, it's just, it is tailor-made for exhausted parents to put on in the afternoon to get some peace and quiet.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, that's most evident in my mind in the opening of the movie that we, after Bowser steals the star, we join Mario and Luigi in their, like, Brooklyn plumbing job. And the movie, right, spends way too much time with Mario as a plumber. The games, again, you know, not to be a stickler here, the games spend very little time with Mario as a plumber. Very little time is spent on this. But there's a sequence here at the beginning where they go over to a client's house to, you know, fix their toilet or whatever. And then there's a whole sequence where they're being attacked by this giant dog and, you know, there's hijinks and it's silly. And I'm just like, this is just a bit from a Minions movie that has been transplanted into the Mario movie. Like, this has nothing to do with Mario or anything that's interesting about, not that there is very much interesting about the character Mario, as you've already mentioned. It's a plotless video game. But, right, there's no connection to anything in this sequence. And yet the movie spends, right, a fair amount of time on this little hijinks heavy screwball comedy thing, because, you know, this is what Illumination does, is they make this sort of movie. And, you know, I think that sequence is maybe the biggest indicator of the type of movie that you're in for. And the movie has better moments, right? I think when they do the 2D scrolling sort of action oners, where I think they do two of them in the movie. They do one early in the movie that is a one-to-one recreation of World 1-1 from the original Super Mario movie. And then later in the movie, they do another one with Mario and Donkey Kong fighting off a bunch of Koopas and such. And, you know, those are better sequences, right? That's slightly inspired and is, you know, very much owing its identity to the game. But the fact that we open with these sorts of silly slapstick sequences, to me, is what indicates the type of movie that this is.
Yeah, I agree. And I was going to talk about this later, but you've kind of moved it up on the timetable.
Nice.
That Illumination, if you ask me, what is the worst possible animation studio to make a Mario movie? I would say, without hesitation, Illumination. Actually, if you said, what is the worst possible studio to produce anything ever? I would be like, well, probably Illumination, because they have yet to produce a single quality film. I do not like Illumination. And the fact that they were able to cheat their way into success with the Despicable Me franchise, I think that's the
cheat
truly
their way
thing.
Bro, they made $1 billion. Like, those, they didn't cheat their way. I don't know.
Yeah, they cheated their way by creating a terrible movie and then, I don't know, did some kind of black magic to convince everyone to go see it. And then the rest is history.
Funny. I don't like Illumination. I'm now trying to think of any Illumination movie that I really enjoy, and I am not coming up with anything.
There is no such movie.
One.
No, because they've done Sing and Sing
Ooh,
2.
Jeepers.
Despicable Me's 1 through 4. Minions 1 through what? 3?
3? Yeah, I think the third one's coming out, or it has come out, one of those two.
Yeah, The Grinch,
oh boy.
20 whatever, The Secret Life of Pets, isn't that them?
Yeah, 1 and 2.
Yeah, and then this.
Dang, that is a tough lineup.
So, yeah, I really just mentioned that Miyamoto quote because I thought it was funny that the man who is the progenitor of this very creative, whimsical, childlike franchise, was talking like a dead-eyed, soulless Wall Street man. But I do think that in the context of that outlook, it makes total sense why you would go to Illumination, because their movies are successful.
Yeah.
So they are the safe bet, and it paid off. I mean, let's be honest. The movie did not do well with critics, but audiences really enjoyed it, and it got over $1 billion, and it'll be with us until humanity is forced to leave the Earth because the sun is expanding.
Well, and it's getting a sequel, so we get to look forward to the second one.
Yeah, I can't wait. So yeah, I, in terms of like the actual plot, such as it is, I don't know. Nothing had an impact. Nothing really made an impression on me. Like I was thinking at a few times, why is Toad even here? And his character is useless, but I couldn't even muster up the energy to be annoyed about that.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh yeah, Toad's kind of a pointless character. But I don't care. I'm not invested in this movie at all.
And he's not particularly annoying. Like, normally a character that's useless is annoying because they're both useless and they, like, are dumb or they're frustrating to be around. But, like, Toad is just, like, such a non-entity in the movie. He doesn't do anything. He's not subtracting anything. And I feel like that's most of the sequences in this film. I'm like, this isn't bad, but this, like, does not make me feel anything in any particular way. It's not making me, like, happy. I'm not enjoying it, but I'm not, like, angry. I'm just sitting here feeling nothing.
Yeah. This is the kind of entertainment that they play in the pods for pod people. Like, it's...
Good reference.
It's a pacifying agent. The Super Mario Bros. Movie. If you put this on in, like, we used to, or I'm sure they still do, our youth group at church did lock-ins.
Mm, yeah.
And if they wanted to calm down a room full of screaming middle schoolers, you could put this movie on and everyone would just kind of be stunned into silence. Like cows in a field, just kind of staring blankly into the middle distance.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I also think, I mean, this is our first, I believe, our first, like, video game movie that we reviewed on this podcast. And I think it's unfortunate that we're doing this one as opposed to one that, you know, maybe had a prayer of being better. Like, I don't know. One of them off the top of my head, but yeah, this movie just has so little going for it, and yeah, anyway, I don't really have a ton of other thoughts on that subject. There's just not a lot here that's leaving an impression with me.
I know, I and like it's just baffling, because I mean, it's I just don't understand this movie. Like, why does it exist? Well, I understand that Miyamoto wanted buy a summer house. And the good folks in Nintendo, they were hungry for bonuses.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like... Well, I mean, let's talk about the only thing that really did make an impact on... Okay, so, well... There's two things that I enjoyed about this movie. Okay. One is when Toad is playing the flute for the music, for the one scene where Mario and Peach are kind of forming a romance. I think we talked about this after we saw it, that Nathan and I both jokes where a character is providing the soundtrack. That is the perfect joke.
Yeah.
It gets me every time.
When it's revealed that music we assume to be non-diegetic is in fact diegetic music, that's a great bit. That's so funny.
That never, literally never fails to tickle me.
Yeah.
And then the joke where King Bob-omb comes to the wedding and sits on a Koopa, and so they go into their shell and start bouncing in between him and the armrest of the bench. I thought that was funny. So those are the two jokes that I liked. But also, I think that the movie is gorgeous. Like, this movie is fun to look at. And a lot of that, I think, is down to the incredible detail of the animation and the color. Like, it's so colorful. That is the only part of this movie that made me feel childlike whimsy, is I was like, wow, look at all the colors. And I loved the, I just really liked the way that seeing Koopas and Bullet Bills and all that kind of stuff, I was like, wow, that's so pretty. It's so nice. That's not anywhere near enough to like make me say, oh, well, then you should watch the movie for that. But yeah, this movie is, I enjoyed seeing this movie. Maybe I didn't enjoy watching this movie, but I liked seeing it.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would add is I do find the character of the Luma, who's kind of like a nihilist, making a bunch of like existential sort of jokes about death and stuff. That character is funny to me, just in terms of like, that's such a weird bit to go for in a movie like this, because the Lumas don't really, like, in Mario Galaxy, the Lumas don't really do much of anything besides, like, float around and say, you know, silly nonsense. So having a depressed one who's, like, talking about French philosophy or something, that's weird. That's a weird bit to commit to, because it's a reoccurring bit, too. Like, it's not just one time the character shows up. The character shows up a bunch of times. I do like the one time that the character says something very depressing, and everyone else in the prison is like, oh, gosh, they gotta stop talking. You're bumming us out. I find that kind of funny. That's the only other thing that I would call special attention to in terms of being really good, though.
Well, that's interesting, because I liked that character the first time I saw this movie. This time around, they kind of irritated me.
Oh, no.
Especially with the knowledge that they're being played by a producer's child. Oh. I was like, well, this is just some guy was like, hey, can my kid play a part? And they came up with this. And yeah, it's a one-note joke. So by the end, I was like, can we just, if this one ends up in the lava, I think no big loss, honestly.
That's funny. I did want to ask you, though, because one of the most talked about aspects of the movie leading up to its release was the casting, which was hotly discussed for, you know, things like Chris Pratt as Mario, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Elliot, do you have strong feelings about any of these actors? Did any of them do a really good job? I know a lot of people really like Jack Black as Bowser. Did you? You know, what are your thoughts on that sort of aspect?
No, seriously, come on. Like, Jack Black is doing his Jack Black thing. He's not turning in a good performance. And I would say the same thing applies to all. Everyone's phoning it in, honestly. I felt, except for maybe Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I was like, you are giving me nothing here. Like, Seth Rogen, I don't like Seth Rogen all that much as an actor. And yeah, I think that when he was trying to, or when the movie was trying to add like emotional strokes or emotional depth to the character having him say like, at least your dad doesn't think you're a joke. That was one of the things that I laughed the most at, just because I thought it was comical that they were at the 11th hour trying to shade in his character. And Seth Rogen is just yelling the way Seth Rogen yells.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, I mean, it's a paycheck. It's a paycheck movie for the entire cast. Or at least that's what I thought. I did not get much from them. Maybe other people saw something that I missed. But I was thinking, like, dang, man. I hope that the Humvee was worth it? Is that an expensive car? I just chose
it's,
a
I mean,
car
it's a car. Cars are just kind of expensive in general, that's true. I think. I
don't, Mercedes, that's an expensive
that's
car,
a more expensive
it?
Car, yeah, okay. For sure. I would agree. I think the casting, to me, feels like they just went with big names and pulled names out of a hat.
I agree.
When I was looking at stuff that Charlie Day apparently did all of his lines, he started with like a Brooklyn accent to be authentic to the fact that Mario and Luigi come from Brooklyn, and they told him to stop halfway through and just use his normal voice, and he's like, I think that's worse, but like you're, you know, signing the check, so I guess I'll have to do that. And yeah, I also saw that Seth Rogen said that at no point in, like, when he auditioned, he said, I'm not going to do anything to my voice. And then he's like, all Donkey Kong does is, like, hate Mario and throw barrels, right? Indicating that he has not played any of the Donkey Kong games where, you know, Donkey Kong does things other than those two things. Not that it matters, you know, I'm not like a Donkey Kong diehard. I just think it's it indicates that all they cared about was getting big names to pad out a cast, not actually try and find people who care about the character or who are going to do something unique or special to try and bring, you know, a distinctive sort of energy to the character. I think I haven't watched any of the Sonic movies, but my sense of them is that Ben Schwartz is for sure embodying the tone, like the quality of Sonic that he's supposed to. And every time I see interviews with him where he's talking about it, it's clear that he's a big fan of the games and that he's trying to do something right to be true to this sort of character. If you think of the Fallout TV show that just came out, I think that's another great example of people really nailing the tone of a game, even though they don't, right? They're not adapting any of the games, but they nail the sense of playing Fallout and the sense of the world of Fallout. And it just doesn't feel like beyond the technical level of it looks like a Super Mario game and they have stuff from Super Mario in it. It feels like that's where they started and ended at their, like, attempt to be true to the source material.
Well, yeah. And I feel confident in saying that this is not, that Jack Black is phoning it in, because I have seen Jack Black trying.
Yeah.
Or I've in the Kung Fu Panda movies, and to be honest, those movies, well, the first two, are better written than the Super Mario Bros. Movie. So there's, he does have that, but like there is actual vulnerability to Poe in some of those moments. So and Jack Black does bring that out in the character. So I know that this is not Jack Black at his best, because Jack Black at his best can actually tease out emotion.
Yeah.
And he's playing a one-note character, sure. But I don't know. I feel like I'm confident in saying that he is capable of doing more than just playing himself. But at this point, I feel like Jack Black has entered the Johnny Depp phase of his career, where he just plays himself in everything all the time and sleepwalks through all his performances.
And then his movie makes $1 billion.
Well, what was the last thing that Johnny Depp was in that made a lot of money?
Well, Johnny Depp has other issues that hopefully Jack Black can avoid. But I totally agree. Jack Black is just doing Jack Black here. This is another reason why, you know, you would have to pay me to see the Minecraft movie, because from the trailers, Jack Black is just Jack Black. And it's not like Steve is an interesting character. Let me be clear here. I don't care about being true to the source material, but if you're going to not be true to the source material, you could at least do something clever or interesting that's better than what you were given, right? Like, I think the Super Mario tone, the stuff we were talking about at the beginning, the imagination, the creativity, those are tried and tested and, like, quality aspects to this IP. And so deciding to eschew those qualities for something else to me would mean you would have to come up with something better. Like when James Bond movies went to Timothy Dalton and they started being a little more serious and a little less silly, they did it because that move improved the quality, right? It was less true to the franchise as it has been represented, but it's more true to like trying to make a good movie. And it feels like this movie is eschewing the things that have been tried and true that we know are good for the lowest common denominator they can possibly obtain in order to make a bunch of money. And it succeeded. And there's no way for us to do this review without sounding like, you know, crotchety old men who are upset about the state of the world. But, you know, that was my reaction watching this movie is, you know, this is the death of cinema as an art form.
Wow. Well, I don't know about that, but I think it's certainly a very superficial rendition of, like, it has that skin deep aesthetic of Mario without the soul of the creativity and the fun.
Yeah.
Which, again, I would say is because that a lot of that is stuff that is intrinsic to its original form and cannot survive a transplant to a different medium. But I don't know. Maybe the sequel will come out and they'll have changed things and I'll say, wow, this is just like playing a Mario game. Although, honestly, I would rather play a Mario game than watch a Mario game.
Yeah.
Because Mario is not all that interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the other issue, is that when you take something that necessarily does not have a plot, you have to just kind of make up nonsense to, you know, drive it forward, so.
One last thing. I think that contributes to the movie's breakneck pace.
Yeah.
That it's just rushing through so that we can have the obstacle course where you can see the piranha plants and the fire things, fire bars. Yeah. And the dropping platforms. And then we have to keep going because we got to see all the toads. And then we got to keep going because we got to see Rainbow Road and the carts. And we got to keep going because we got to be on Bowser's weird floating island thing. Absolutely. So that is not helping things because there's no chance for us to kind of settle into these characters and their conflict because the movie is interested in other less fulfilling things.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't have very much else to say, so I'm ready to do a rating if you are.
Yeah, I just want to say I was disappointed. I was disappointed that they didn't make more use of the Mario music. Like, Mario has such a varied and extensive catalog of different music that they just didn't use. I mean, it cropped up here and there, and it's not as bad as the Halo TV show, which never had a note of Martin McDonald's music.
Holy,
that is insane.
Well, that show, I think, was explicitly made by people who hated Halo, like who played it once and died four times in like team deathmatch. And they were like, oh, I vow to destroy this franchise. That I didn't watch it because everything I saw looked like it was made by crazy people.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's pretty harsh, but maybe. But anyway, I just thought, let's just have fun with it, guys. Come on, we don't need to have a traditional film score. We can bring in all the great Mario music, but whatever. What do I know? I've never made anything that's made $1 billion.
That's true. We haven't.
I mean, Magellan's at the Movies has only made like what, 160 million? That's nothing.
I was going to say negative a whole bunch of money, but anyway.
Well, anyway, let's get to ratings. Go ahead, Nathan.
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. I just, as I said at the beginning, like, good things and bad things, maybe it's more like a 5.3, because there's genuinely nothing in this movie that's, like, bad. There's just nothing in this movie that makes me feel a single human emotion, which is typically why I would watch a movie, is because I want to feel something and I want to see something new and interesting. And this, right, other people would rate this maybe lower based on, you know, how they want to rate the thing. But for me, this is the most middle of the road you can get. And it's disappointing, but that's pretty much the only emotion I'm left with when I finish watching the movie.
I'm going to give it a C because who cares? And I should say, I apologize to Abigail, if this is not quite the review that she wanted. But we should say, like, if you like this movie, more power to you. Go for it.
I mean, that's what, like, we always say. Do you remember the one time we watched The Croods with Chad and Angie's family, which includes Abigail for the listeners who aren't intimately aware of our family tree? And on the ride home, our family was, like, discussing the movie, and Chad was like, when I asked you guys, what did you think? I just wanted, like, did you think it was good or did you think it was bad? Like, I don't care about all this other nonsense that you're now saying about the cinematography and the acting and all. He's like, I don't care. I just wanted to know, did you enjoy it?
I do not remember being interested in cinematography and acting at that age. I remember seeing that movie, and I have a vague memory of Chad feeling that we over-explained our feelings on it, but I don't think we ever invoked camera angles or lenses or anything like that.
Maybe I did. Maybe that was just me.
Sure.
Or I'm embellishing this story for comedic purposes.
No. We don't need to get into that. What we do need to get into is recommendations.
Absolutely.
I'm going to recommend a movie, another animated movie that's kind of about video games, one that even has Bowser in it. That's going to be Wreck-It Ralph. Mm. Wreck-It Ralph, I think that's a movie that we saw with Chad and Angie's family, didn't we?
I think we did, actually.
That's crazy.
Cool honor.
Well, anyway, you've probably heard of this movie. It's about the villain of an old arcade game who decides he wants to have a different life, and so he goes on an adventure. And that's really what drew me to this movie as a recommendation, is that, like Mario, Wreck-It Ralph is a lot about the variations in its different worlds and settings. It's a movie about a journey, right? Traveling through different places, seeing new things. The difference is Wreck-It Ralph is funny and emotionally affecting and well-written, and it has a fantastic antagonist.
Yeah.
So, if when it comes to video game-related movies that leverage the kind of aesthetic of video games, my goodness, go look no further than Wreck-It Ralph.
That's a really good recommendation, actually. I hadn't thought about that movie for a while, but that is actually a really fun time. My recommendation is also an animated movie. This is one that maybe slipped through the cracks because it was released, I think, literally March of 2020, which was a bad time to be releasing movies, if you aren't aware. But that's going to be Pixar's Onward. It's just classic Pixar. I wouldn't say it's like peak Pixar. It's not like in my top five, but this is a really great movie. Also about some characters going on a journey. In this case, two brothers in a fantasy magical sort of world who try to use their father's staff to bring him back to life. And it doesn't really work. And so they have to go on a bit of a journey to try and get the spell to work a little more completely, and it's just really great. It's a ton of fun. to see the Pixar world building. They're always fantastic at doing all of these fun little details about how the world works in interesting sort of ways. It's also a very affecting story, or at least I found it very affecting. The, you know, two sons trying to connect with their father and trying to find a way to reconnect with him in this case. It's a really great story, and I think if you didn't get a chance to see it because of when it was released and the circumstances surrounding that, I think you should give it a try, because I thought all three of the Pixar COVID sort of movies were actually, like, really good. So all three of them deserve to be watched, in my opinion.
Interesting. I've only seen that movie once. I don't remember loving it, but it has been a while, so I am going to withhold judgment. But what I will pass judgment on is the question of whether or not life is hard and full of disappointments, and I judge in the affirmative.
Wow, good one, Elliot. Good one. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Abigail, you know, send us an email based on your thoughts on our review. If you loved this movie and you felt like we were too harsh, send us an email. Let us know. If you have another movie you want us to watch, you can send us an email with the request. Otherwise, we're going to be back next week. We're going to be reviewing another great, hopefully great movie. Might be a bad movie, but we'll be sharing our thoughts with you. So we hope you have a great week, and we hope you'll, we'll see you then.